If you would please take your Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Kings, the book of 2 Kings, chapter 21. 2 Kings, chapter number 21. If you'll be patient with me tonight, I'm going to give a sermon in a little different format than I typically would and give a lengthy introduction and then just a brief outline. So several minutes in when I say number one, please don't panic, all right? A lengthy introduction with just a brief outline. And with the Lord's help, I'm praying that the outline will be something that's an application for us, something we can actually take home with us. 2 Kings chapter number 21, beginning in verse number 1. 2 Kings 21, verse 1. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hephzibah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, after the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. Go now to verse number 19. Amon was 22 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Meshulameth, the daughter of Haraz the Jotbah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh did. And he walked in all the way that his father walked in, and served the idols that his father served, and worshipped them. And he forsook the Lord God of his fathers, and walked not in the way of the Lord. And the servants of Amon conspired against him, and slew the king in his own house. And the people of the land slew all them that had conspired against King Amon. And the people of the land made Josiah his son king in his stead. Now the rest of the acts of Amon which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And he was buried in his sepulcher in the garden of Uzzah. And Josiah, his son, reigned in his stead. Chapter 22, verse number 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah of Boscath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. With the Lord's help tonight, I'm going to bring just a brief message entitled, He Did That Which Was Right. Let's pray together. Lord, I pray that you'll bless the reading of your word. Lord, help me, empty me myself, and fill me with you. Lord, help us as hearers to hear what your word has for us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You'll remember after Solomon reigned, the people of Israel, the children of Israel, were split into two different kingdoms, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. Northern kingdom, of course, was Israel, the southern kingdom of Judah. And both of those kingdoms had more than their fair share of evil kings. In fact, the nation of Israel, you'd be hard-pressed to find a good king. But in Judah, there were a handful of good kings, and two that really stood out as excellent. What made them excellent was not just how they ruled, but who they ruled for. They served the Lord. I love how these books of the Bible are laid out, because God makes it very clear for us. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, or he did that which was good in the sight of the Lord. The two kings that really stood out in the nation of Judah were Hezekiah and this young 8-year-old Josiah. Hezekiah and Josiah. When Hezekiah reigned, he had the prophet Isaiah living along with him, the greatest writing prophet in the Old Testament. And when Josiah took reign, or took office, so to speak, he had the weeping prophet with him, Jeremiah. God blessed these two kings and blessed these two prophets that were there alongside their contemporaries there at that time in history. But Judah had many evil kings as well. Before we get too far into Josiah, let's look at his grandfather and his father, who were both evil kings. The Bible tells us that Manasseh, who was Josiah's grandfather, was by far the worst and most wicked king to ever rule in Judah. He also reigned longer than any other king. That's a terrible combination, isn't it? He was the worst that ever ruled, and also ruled for a very, very long time. Judah was once deeply rooted in faith, in truth. But Manasseh turned from that. One of the quotes I found said, Manasseh didn't just fail to uproot the harmful false religion. He deliberately planted, protected, and promoted the false religion. In other words, he wasn't just turning a blind eye to it. He was all about it. It's what he wanted for Judah. At the end of his life, believe it or not, he actually turned back to God and apologized to God for what he had done, but the damage was way too far past at that point. He had influenced an entire nation to turn against God. That was Manasseh. Soon after Manasseh, his son Amon took the throne. He only reigned for 2 years, but he continued to do evil in the sight of the Lord. Eventually, as we just read, he was killed by his own servants who conspired against him. He was an evil man. Then Josiah came along, and Josiah was only 8 years old. If I asked most of you in this room what you know about Josiah, we know the same thing. He was the youngest king to ever rule. Are there any 8-year-olds in the room right now? I know of one that I personally know and love. Any other 8-year-olds in the room? I'm looking. Any 7-year-olds in the room? 7-year-olds, 8-year-olds, any 9-year-olds in the room? If you're 7, 8, or 9, would you stand for me? 7, 8, or 9. Folks, I want you to look around and imagine any one of these young people to be your king or your queen, the ruler of the nation. I'm only 31 years old. I know some of you thought at least 51. I'm only 31 years old. I can't imagine ruling a kingdom. But these young people, at 8 years old, Josiah took reign at 8 years old. And even early on in his reign, he determined that he was going to do that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He determined that regardless of what had happened for the 2 generations before him, and really for a long time before him, he was going to do something different. He was going to take a stand for what was right. And he determined he was going to do it regardless of what anyone else thought about it. That's a convicting thing. So often we, all of us, complain about the world around us. We complain about the evil that we see, and certainly there is more evil in the world than we wish there was. But are we doing what we should to take a stand for what's right? Are we living a holy life that's separate for the Lord? Are we giving our lives completely to God and allowing Him to use us regardless of what's going on around us? Josiah went against his own grandfather and against his own father. He did exactly what God wanted him to do, even at an early stage in his life. That's an amazing thing, especially as we talk a little more about it. But Josiah was the first person to take a stand in his family. Many of you can relate to that. Maybe you're a first-generation Christian. Maybe your family, parents, grandparents are Christians, but they were never really given to the Lord. But you've taken a stand. Let me thank you for it and encourage you not to quit. God desires your faithfulness. God desires my faithfulness. He desires for us to take a stand for Him, regardless of what's going on around us. Don't quit. During Josiah's reign, it's an interesting thing that more than half of the Old Testament had already been written. More than half the Old Testament. They had the Bible. But Josiah, who was ruling in the nation where most of the Bible at that point had been written, Josiah, who was ruling where David had ruled, literally sitting on the throne that David had sat on, not only did Josiah not know the truths of the Bible, Josiah didn't even know a Bible existed. Just 100 years prior, Hezekiah and Isaiah had turned this nation back to God. And now the ruler of that nation had no idea the Bible even existed. He had no idea that absolute truth existed. Folks, we should be convicted that we have the truth, and yet we turn to it so rarely. We have what God wants us to have, to know about Himself, but we look at it so rarely. We don't give it the attention that it deserves. More than half the Bible had been written, and Josiah didn't even know that it existed. It was once in history the supreme book in Judah, and now they had turned completely from it. In fact, it's interesting as well to think that Josiah had been raised in a king's home. No doubt he had the finest education any young person could have. He had the finest training that anyone could ever have. And yet he had no truth because he didn't have the Bible. Certainly he knew some traditions, but he didn't have the truth. I don't want to make this a message about education tonight, but I am passionate about it. That's what we're trying to do in our nation right now. We're trying to teach the finest education we can, give the finest foundation we can, but as a nation, we've turned from God. We've turned from the Bible and the truths of the Bible. How should we ever expect our young people in this country to grow up and know who God is and what He's about if we've taken the Bible out of our classrooms, if we've taken the Bible out of our curriculum? God's truth has not changed. We have to be so careful in our own homes to make sure, as we're teaching for our sons to stand up when someone shakes their hand and to stand up when a lady enters the room. I hope we're going much further than just manners and teaching God's word to our families. It's the responsibility God's given us. Josiah had the finest training and yet had no idea that the Bible existed. Even though he did not have a Bible, he knew something was wrong. He knew something with what his grandfather Manasseh and his father had done was wrong. He knew that it wasn't exactly what it should be, and he determined he was going to make a change. At that time in history, even in the temple, what used to be the holiest place in Jerusalem. Prostitution was rampant. They were sacrificing innocent children. Both of those as a way of worship. It was a disgusting thing, filthy thing. And in Josiah's 18th year, he determined he was going to clean up the temple. He was going to make some changes in the temple and try to restore it at least back to its same splendor and original beauty. The temple had survived a lot of attacks, a lot of wars, but it was not there for its original purpose. It certainly was not set apart for worship like it had been, at least true worship. So he determined he was going to clean up the temple. He began to do the best he could, but he did not have God's word. And because of that, he did make some progress, but he didn't quite get it right. He couldn't quite make the change that needed to be made because he didn't have the truth. He didn't have what God's law told them was needed. Some of us are desperately trying to make changes in our lives. Sometimes it seems like every morning we think, God, why can I not get victory? Why can I not change for you? In my short time in the ministry, I've had a handful of people come to me and say, I can't get past this. What am I supposed to do? My pastor taught me years ago, the first question should always be, are you reading God's word daily? And if the answer is no, stop counseling immediately. Because God's word is truth. God promises that his word will not return void. He promises that truth can be found in his word. Josiah tried to make the changes, and he did make some progress. But he couldn't get it quite right. He wanted to change it. He wanted the temple to be more beautiful. But it wouldn't change exactly the right way until the Bible was found. Look at verse number 8. Look at verse number 8. This is in chapter 22. As they're cleaning up the temple, in the rubble of the temple, they find something very special. Look at verse number 8. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the what? The book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan. And he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it to the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. God's word had been found. The Bible had been found. Remember, Josiah didn't even know that it existed, and now someone's come to him and said, I found the book. Josiah, are you looking for guidance? Are you looking for wisdom on what you're supposed to do next? We have it. We found it. Folks, we're all looking for something in life, aren't we? And I am so thankful. We have it. God's given it to us. All we have to do is open it, read it, let it change our lives. They found the book, and what happened when they found the book? It was read to Josiah, and Josiah rent his clothes. That was a picture of shame. He knew their nation had turned so far from what was written in that book. Our nation has turned so far from what is written in this book, hasn't it? Josiah knew that he was undone. Even though he was trying to do what was right, he couldn't fully do it until he had God's word. Now he knew how far the nation had gotten away from the Lord. The Bible will always bring conviction of sin, folks. Always. If you're looking at things in your life that don't seem quite right, read the Bible. If you want to know if what you're doing is right, read the Bible. Stop asking each other. Stop asking other people. Look in God's word and let him show you. The Bible tells us that it is profitable for four things: for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I know our pastor said this many times. Doctrine is what we believe. It's our beliefs and teachings. Reproof is showing me what I'm doing wrong. Correction is showing me how to do it right. And instruction in righteousness is to show me how to keep doing it right. The Bible promises that it will not return void. It promises that we will find truth in it. It is a living, breathing word. And we have access to it every day of our lives. Every moment of our lives. When Josiah saw the truth or heard the truth from God's word, he rent his clothes because now he knew what truth was, he knew what right was, and how far from right they had been as a nation. When they found the book, everything changed. Josiah had been trying to polish up the temple and clean up the temple, but now his purpose was different. It wasn't just doing a little better. It was completely different. Josiah now could look at the temple and say, okay, I wanted to clean it up and polish it up, but now everything that's against God has to go. Everything that's against holiness has to go. Now I know the original purpose of this temple was not just a beautiful building. It was for worship of the true and living God. It was for holiness. It was for separate living. It was for all the things that God desired for it to be. And everything that dishonored God had to go. The Bible tells us many things that had to be removed. If you look at chapter 23, verse number 4, the Bible says, "And the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, and the priest of the second order, and the keepers of the door, to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal, and for the grove, and for all the host of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron, and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel." It shows us that he removed paganism. Can you imagine? God's blessed us with a beautiful building here. Can you imagine just a few years down the road that false doctrine is taught here? That paganism is happening in this very building? Can you imagine that? God forbid that ever happened here. But that's exactly what happened in the temple in Jerusalem. It had once been set apart for God. And now the most filthy things you can imagine were happening in the temple, inside the walls of the temple. He had to remove all the paganism because it was against God. Look at verse number 6. "And he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem unto the brook Kidron, and burned it at the brook Kidron, and stamped it small to powder, and cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people." Because we have young people in this room, I won't go into detail about the grove. But the grove was a picture of immorality. It was something that was to be worshipped. It was a symbol of worship that was completely immoral. And you can study that on your own. But he removed the paganism. He removed the prostitution, the pornography, the filth from the temple. And then, verse number 7. "And he brake down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord." Imagine that, just outside the temple walls. Sodomy was being practiced and lived as if it were normal. He took out the perversion. God's word can bring about drastic change. And folks, if you're looking at your life thinking, I don't know why I can't quite get there, I would challenge you. Are you in God's word faithfully? Because if you are, he will change your life. That's what he wants to do. Look at verse number 8. "And he brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense from Geba to Beersheba, and break down the high places of the gates that were in the entering in of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were on a man's left hand at the gate of the city. Nevertheless, the priests of the high places came not up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they did eat of the unleavened bread among their brethren." The Bible tells us he tore down the high places. These were the sacred shrines that had been set up all throughout the nation of Judah for false worship. He broke those down. He cleaned up the temple itself, removed the immorality from there, but then he went all throughout the nation of Judah, trying to clean up the nation the best he possibly could. Look at verse number 13. "And the high places that were before Jerusalem, which were on the right hand of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon, king of Israel, had builded for Ashtaroth, the abomination of the Zidonians, and for Chemosh, the abomination of the Moabites, and for Milcom, the abomination of the children of Ammon, did the king defile. And he brake in pieces the images, and cut down the groves, and filled their places with the bones of men." He cleaned up Jerusalem. Josiah went all throughout the nation, but he went to Jerusalem as well and cleaned up Jerusalem. Keep in mind, less than 100 years prior, Jerusalem was a foundational place for holy living, for God worship. And just 100 years later, he had to go in and clean the whole place up. Folks, we should be very concerned about our generation. Very concerned. And we should be very concerned about the next generation. And frankly, that's all we can do. We have to do the best we can in our generation to share the gospel and allow God to change our lives and through our lives bring change to the lives of others. And we have to teach our children and our grandchildren the truth and teach those that God's given us in this church, the children and young people, the truth. And then we have to teach them their responsibility, because I can only live my life in one generation, and so can you. But our influence can carry on throughout generations. We have a responsibility to reach this generation for the Lord. We can complain all day long about what's happening in our government, complain all day long about what's happening in this world, but when's the last time any of us shared the gospel with someone in Hazlitt? I can't reach everyone in the world, But as a church, we certainly can reach Haslett. As a church, we certainly can do all we can do in this generation, in this area, in our Jerusalem. Josiah brought change in Jerusalem. Then, look at verse number 21. Verse number 21. And the king commanded all the people, saying, "Keep the Passover unto the Lord your God, as it is written in the book of this covenant. Surely there was not holden such a Passover from the days of the judges that judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel, nor of the kings of Judah." The Passover had been ignored for generations. And Josiah decided, okay, if we're going to do what's right, as I'm reading the Bible, we're going to go ahead and observe the Passover the right way. And we're going to make a big deal of it. The Bible says, like it had never been seen before. We're going to make a big deal of this Passover because it's something God desires for us to do. So he did just that. God's word brought drastic change all throughout the temple, throughout the city of Jerusalem, throughout the nation of Judah. Drastic change. And again, I say, some of us in our lives need drastic change. And there's only one way we can get it. Now, that's the lengthy introduction. I promise you, the outline's very brief. All right? Number one, what lessons can we learn from this? Number one, someone is going to have to step up if anything is ever going to change. Someone. It may be you. It may be me. But someone's going to have to take a stand. Josiah lived in a household. His grandfather, his father, did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. But Josiah, as even a young child, said, "I'm going to do what's right." And certainly as he got older, he determined he was not only going to do right himself, but do all he could to turn that nation back to the Lord. Someone's going to have to step up. Number two, the right kind of change can only come by reading God's word. The right kind of change can only come by reading God's word. So many of us are trying to clean up our lives and polish up our lives and look better on the outside, whether intentionally or unintentionally. Too often with our own young people and our own children, we're trying to dictate behavior. Behavior's not the answer, folks. Revival's the answer. God has to get a hold of our hearts before the behavior changes. The worst thing we can teach our young people is a list of rules. I joke with our young people in the school sometimes because of all people on earth, I dislike our rule book more than anyone else because I have to enforce it. I don't care about some of those things. Is that okay to say? I don't care about some of those things. But as an institution, we have to say we're going to take a certain stand, right? My fear with that rule book is that any one of our young people would think that that list of rules that we have to follow is the Christian life. Because nothing is further from the truth. God gives us a list of guidelines. He gives us exactly how He wants us to act. But the way that He acts, the way that He works, is by changing our heart first. And then the change comes on the outside. Rebellion so often comes in young people because we're trying to fix the outside and we're not concerned with the heart. God is concerned with the heart. And then miraculously, He changes the outside from the inside out. God's word is the only thing that can bring real change. How many of you ladies would admit that your husband likes to fix things? Would you raise your hand? How many of you men like to fix things? How many of you men like to try to fix things and then call a professional quickly? Yeah, that's me. I would fall in that category. It is human nature. It's human nature for us to try to fix problems. But we have to understand, there are problems, spiritual problems, that we cannot fix. Only God can. Josiah saw this problem in the nation of Judah. He wanted to fix it. He did everything in his power to fix it. But we're going to see in just a second, he couldn't do it. It wasn't his to do. Only the Lord could do it. Number one, someone's going to have to step up if anything's ever going to change. Number two, the right kind of change can only come by reading God's word. Number three, we must pray for revival. We must pray for revival. By the way, it does no good for me to pray for the revival of the nation if I'm not willing to pray for revival in my own heart, my own life. Change from the inside out. God working in a way that only He can work. And changing lives because of who He is. And then the behavior comes afterwards. Revival. Revival. In the nation of Judah, they saw a great reformation. They saw great changes. None of us would say that it was a bad thing, the way that He cleaned up the temple. It was a very good thing. None of us would say that it was bad that He tore down the high places. It's a very good thing. But because revival did not come to the nation of Judah, As soon as Josiah was off the throne, his own son turned them right back into sin. Lasting change did not come because of Josiah. Lasting change could not come because of Josiah. God blessed him, and God stated that he did exactly what he was supposed to do, and that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But he couldn't do it on his own. Jehoahaz, his son, came in and turned right back to sin. Let me ask you this, folks. Are you sick of being begged to do the right thing? Are you sick of pastor having to stand up here and say, we've got this thing that we're trying to do in our community. We need 40 volunteers. Can we get 40? And three hands go up. Are you sick of whoever's doing announcements saying, please, we beg of you, put your name on that sign-up sheet at that welcome center or that welcome center. We need as much help as possible. Are you sick of being begged to do what's right? And are some of you sick of begging others to do what's right? Again, that's the outward change that only God can bring from the inside out. What makes us want to serve the Lord? It's a heart for the Lord. It's not to be seen of each other. It's a heart for the Lord. And only God can bring that change. At some point in time, someone is going to look back at your family. Someone's going to look back at this church. And they're going to say one of two things. They did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Or they did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. If your family's ever going to do what's right in the sight of the Lord, someone has to take a stand. Men, fathers, someone's got to take a stand. I don't mean to get personal. Stop letting your wife control whether or not we have devotions at night. Stop letting your wife be in charge of the spiritual growth in your home. Step up. I'm preaching to myself as much as I'm preaching to you, I promise you. Someone has to take a stand for what's right. If your children are ever going to know the truth, someone has to teach them. I'm thankful for good schools. I'm thankful for good churches. But your home has the primary responsibility of teaching truth to your children. They're going to see more in your life than they're ever going to hear come out of your mouth, too. Living a consistent Christian life is such a powerful thing. At some point in time, someone's going to look back at this church and they're going to say, they did that which was good in the sight of the Lord. Or, they could have done more for the Lord. They had so much potential. Isn't that a sad statement we hear about people? That person had so much potential. But, fill in the blank. Josiah did all he could do, but that nation did not turn. By the way, eventually, Judah did turn back to God. After the Babylonian captivity, and after 70 years of disaster, and after a lot of death, and after a lot of difficulty, they did come back to the Lord. Folks, what's it going to take in your life to turn you back to the Lord? How long are you going to wait? How long am I going to wait? How much more does God have to allow in our lives to get our attention? We have the truth. We don't have to seek it out. It's here. What are we doing to let the Lord take care of it? Let's all bow our head and close our eyes. Let's stand together, please. In just a moment, we'll sing hymn number 39, Take My Life and Let It Be. Some of us tonight just need to come and pray for our family. Pray for our church that it'll be exactly what God wants it to be. Some of us need to come and tell the Lord we want to turn back to His Word for the truth that we need. And some of us just need to ask the Lord to help us remain faithful. That someday someone can look back at our family, look back at our church and say they did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Lord, I pray that You'll help us to do what's right before You. Not to be seen of men, not to be seen of anyone, but just because You are who You are and You deserve it. Thank You, Lord, for Your Word, for truth. Help us to turn to it and seek it out. In Jesus' name.